Welcome to the Jacob's Well podcast. These messages are intended to feed you some great stuff that you can really dig your teeth into all week and beyond. That's why you can find it anytime, along with other great resources and ways to keep the conversation going at jacobs-well.net/leftovers. Enjoy the message.
Let's give him another round of applause. I think it's so easy to watch that skit and think, wow, those people really don't get it. Or, I know people just like that. But in fact, we all have moments of being greedy and busy, fearful, sneaky, judgy, maybe even moments of being haters. And I don't say that from a place of shame or blame, but of vulnerability. Because the message of Easter, the whole revolutionary love thing, the whole hope springs eternal thing, sounds really great. But that's just not the world we live in. Greed wins. Busy is the new status symbol. Hatred and fear are very powerful motivators. That's just the way things are. Look around. Some of the Good Friday stories talk about Jesus feeling abandoned on the cross, and I get it. It's so easy to look at his murder and say, yep, of course. The institution, the world, the established order, whatever that is so threatened by the way that Jesus was living in the world. Of course, it's not going to work. Of course, you're just going to get yourself killed. It's so easy to say that we wouldn't have betrayed Jesus like so many of his followers did. It's so easy to say that we're not the ones hurting others, or that we're not the ones promoting violent agendas, that we aren't teaching that to our kids or operating from that mindset. But how could we not? In so many ways, it's the water we swim in. It's the way of the world. And even if it's in small ways, even if it's not giving into the fear and lies and consumption and greed and status and media, I wonder how this does show up for us. In what ways do we forget the radical path of love? In what ways do we, even accidentally, leave behind what we know to be most true? Whether it's the bully on the school bus that we don't want to stand up to, or the boss at work that we have no hope of changing, whether it's the climate that's going crazy and we feel like we can't make a difference, or the family member we just can't talk to anymore. I don't know. When we see the ways that the world is working so hard to kill the revolution of love, it's easy to believe them. To think that this revolution just won't work. Again, it's so tempting to say, that's not how I live. That's not what I believe. That's not my reality. I do this, I do that, I fight for this, and I speak for that. But then, in moments of quiet and vulnerability, we realize, how could it not be? How can this fearful, scarce, regretful way not creep in sometimes? And I want to say, of course. Of course, our culture takes over. Of course, that messaging affects us. Sometimes we fight instead of forgive. Sometimes we judge instead of understanding. Sometimes we exclude rather than expand. Of course, practicality sets in. Of course, reality is what it is, and this is just how we have to operate. Of course, the institutions are going to fight for the harmful status quo. Of course, they're going to put down crazy love movements. Of course, we will get discouraged and overwhelmed and pessimistic. There is so much power in the mainstream current, the way of the world, the powers that be. There is so much power in the momentum that's marketed to us. And yet, of course, you want to believe in a different way. Of course, you want there to be something more. I think this is a really critical time for us. Every moment is, but now more than ever, we are seeing a new movement towards consciousness and the habituated reactions against change. I'm not just talking politics. I'm talking about the rise of yoga studios and farmers markets, the power of media and technology to bring people together or to unite against one another. I'm talking about the fact that Oprah has a show every weekend called Super Soul Sunday. I see these seeds starting to bloom. I see the hunger for more. I have so much reason for hope. But I also see our resignation. How quick we are to label those as weird little lovey things popping up in a messy, scary, harsh world. I see the Pontius Pilates and the Barabbases always right there, ready to put the movement down. I see the greedy Gretas and busy Bettys and fearful Freds in so many people walking down the street. I am just as guilty of this, of believing that this love stuff is a weird anomaly. I'm going to tell you the truth. I don't like to tell people I'm a pastor because I assume that A, they'll think I'm weird, and B, that they should think I'm weird. Because what possible relevance could Christianity or faith have? What difference could this love revolution make? Somehow, hey, I'm a yoga therapist, which I am, seems better, but then people still assume unicorns and rainbows, and I just kind of let them. Can I even talk about my passion and curiosity without apologizing for it? I mean, that's literally my job. And I don't always do it. Because right away, I give them a chance to dismiss me. I mean, I'm into this stuff, but there's a part of me that honestly doesn't ever expect it to catch on. Not totally. So I'll carve out my little corner where I can, and then go back to living in the real world. But what if it were the other way around? What if the messiness and the harshness were temporary? What if those buds coming up were what was most true?
Woo! Thank you. Hey, good morning, Jacob's Well. Happy Easter to you. Great. Is that the best you can do? Happy Easter! All right, those pancakes are kicking in. This is great. Good morning. I'm Greg Meyer, and wow, it's just wonderful. Thank you. Thank you for celebrating with us today. Before I begin today, well, first of all, just glad you're all here. You kids, you're doing great. Have fun. We don't expect too much order, parents. All right, calm down. We can deal with it. This is good. But before I jump into anything, I just got to say one thing that's really important, and that is, you know, I don't know where you are individually with all this God and Jesus and Easter stuff. You know, you may be here because Easter is so core to who you are as a person that, of course, you're here. You may be here because Jacob's Well is part of the Easter Bunch package, and there is no a la carte. You either take all or nothing, therefore you're here this morning. You know, and it really doesn't matter. It doesn't matter because, you know, well, first of all, I'm not assuming that you think you believe one thing or another. Neither do I expect that I'm going to be able to convince you to believe any one thing or another. And frankly, it's because I don't really think that's what it's about. And whatever God is, and I think that's something we can probably safely say that none of us will ever quite figure out exactly what God is, but whatever God is, I don't think is interested in that either. Because I don't think God is so interested in what we think we believe about the things. I think God is really interested in what we value and what we decide to do about it, and how we see the world because of it. So what we're hoping today to do with you, and what I'm hoping you experience, is that there is a vision, a way of seeing the world that you are going to cherish. That's going to start a conversation that might bleed into that Easter brunch that you're going to as part of the package today, or maybe just something that you're going to be wrestling with this week, and it's going to help you figure out some things that are good to figure out. So anyway, I really do believe. I believe it's important that we understand that there are different ways of looking at the world. And that's what I want to share with you, is maybe another way of looking at the world and something you've had a glimpse on already. So you already saw the kids' skit, and I'm going to be a little bit annoying and See this yarn? You can take it. Can you just like pull it and pass it back and just kind of keep a hold of it to it. You got to hold on to it and then keep it going all the way back up to the wall there. Thanks. You're looking a little left out over here. Just for the record, we don't really know how well this is going to work. So you saw the kids of the skit, and you heard Stephanie talking a little bit ago, you know, her rant on why the kind of love that Jesus has always ends up dying in the end. You know, it always loses.
I'm here to be the depressing one.
Yeah, that's her job. It's a bad cop, good cop. So, you know, and the world that we have for ourselves, that we've made for ourselves, is really one that, you know, isn't going to work in the end. We don't really have space and time for the kind of stuff that Jesus is really standing up for. And I know that that's right. I know we just need to be practical, and we just got to admit these things. But I can't help thinking, and frankly, I can't help thinking almost every day that, well, what if? What if that way that we're being told we're supposed to understand the world and interpret everything isn't quite right? What if that isn't explaining everything? What if this whole idea that might makes right and, you know, the nice guy always loses, what if that's looking at things just the wrong way and so it always keeps coming up with that conclusion? What if you know what to do with that, don't you there? Okay. What if love really does overcome fear? What if life is actually always the last word, not death? And what if right actually isn't wrong, you know? What if this is all a short-sighted, superficial, self-interested way of looking at the world that we're always doing all the time and always keeps coming up to this conclusion that says that Jesus is crazy for believing in the kind of love that he lived? And really, what we actually need to do is not buy into that reality, but we need to start opening ourselves up to glimpse a different reality, a bigger one, a wider one, a deeper one that actually starts letting us see the world in a different way, and it's going to really do with that. Here's what I think. I think that's exactly what Easter was all about. I think with Easter, God was messing with our heads and with our hearts and trying to say, you know, everything you think and you know about the world, that is not the way it is. No, actually, in the end, love wins. Love wins. Now, we hear the Easter story read, and what I'm afraid happens so much of the time is we hear the story, and what it really becomes is, the point of the story is, do I really believe that the stone got rolled away and Jesus rose out of the tomb alive or not? And I think that's just a mistake. I don't think that's where God wants us to get stuck and spend all of our time and energy. I think the message of Easter is about asking us, could you trust the world where this is true? That's what God is trying to introduce, a different world to us. And God wants us to spend our time figuring out whether we can trust that or not. So I want you to listen to this Easter story one more time. And I want you to listen to it this time, not with the question, did this really happen or not in your head? But what does this say about the world that I live in your heart? Okay? Listen to this. This comes from a children's storybook Bible, but it's actually pretty faithful. It's very faithful to real story, but maybe it helps us hear it fresh and new. And you kids, you're going to recognize some of the ideas in here, all right? So this is after Jesus' death. On the third day after Jesus' death, at the first glimmer of dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other women headed to the tomb to wash Jesus' body. This was their custom. The early morning sun slanted through the ancient olive trees as the friends walked quietly along the hilly path until they reached the tomb. Immediately, they noticed something odd. It was wide open. They peered through the opening into the dark tomb. But wait, Jesus' body was gone. And something else, a shining man was there with clothes like lightning. "Don't be scared," the angel said. But they couldn't help it. They screamed anyway. The angel asked them, "What are you doing here? This is a tomb, and tombs are for dead people." The women couldn't speak. "Jesus isn't dead anymore," he said. "He's alive again." Their hearts leapt, and then the angel laughed with such gladness that they felt for a moment as if they had woken from a nightmare. The other women rushed home, but Mary stayed behind. How could it be true? Jesus was definitely dead. How could he be alive? Just then Mary heard someone else in the garden. Perhaps it was the gardener, she thought. He'll know where Jesus' body is. I don't know where Jesus is, Mary said urgently. I can't find him. But it was all right. Jesus knew where she was. He had found her. Mary. Then only one person said her name like that. She could hear her heart thumping. She turned around. She could just make out a figure. She thought she was dreaming, but she wasn't dreaming. She was seeing. Jesus. Mary fell to the ground. Sudden tears filled her eyes, and great sobs shook her whole body, and all she wanted in that moment was to cling to Jesus and never let him go. You'll be able to hold on to me later, Mary, Jesus gently said, and always be close to me. But now, go and tell the others that I am alive. Mary ran and ran all the way to the city. She didn't even feel like her feet touched the ground. And it seemed to her that morning as she ran, almost as if the whole world had been made anew. Almost as if the whole world was singing for joy. The trees, tiny sounds in the grass, the birds, her heart. Was Jesus really making everything sad come untrue? Was God making even death come untrue? She couldn't wait to tell Jesus' friends. They won't believe it, she laughed. She was right, of course. Okay, so the story does go on from there. That wasn't the end of it. And yes, she was right. They men heard the story and didn't believe it at all. They had no idea what to do with that story. It was driving them crazy, but, you know, she was disoriented and couldn't figure out what was going on. The men were even more confused, but that's to be expected because they are men. But what happened to the women also happened to the men. And if I'm reading the story right, it's also telling us this is probably what's happening to us. Okay? And that is that they're confused, they're disoriented, their world gets turned upside down. Mary did not know what's going on. All she could do is grieve and wonder, like, what's happening? But then she learned something. Something got shown to her, something that made her realize that what before she was only dreaming, now she's seeing. Something that she feared was true was becoming made untrue. And the disciples got the exact same thing. They were bumbling and bumping into each other, trying to figure out what to do next and what was actually happening and what they could believe and what they couldn't believe. And then they ran into Jesus himself. And fishing nets that had been empty were now filled to overflowing with hope and possibilities. And they had conversations with Jesus where he started telling them how he understood the world to really be going. And the stories say that their hearts burned inside them. And they started saying things to each other like, could this truly be? Boy, that's a good question for us to ask. See, disoriented and then reoriented, confused and then given a glimpse of something brand new, and then all of them empowered by Jesus, given a job, sent out to do something, not just to know that the world was different, it wasn't everything that they thought it would, but that they could tell other people that and they could actually be part of the change. That's what they were being sent out to do. On this Easter, you send that one all the way to the back. Send those all the way back. On this Easter, you are being challenged. We are all being challenged. I'm definitely being challenged. And so I'm inviting you to see the world differently. Not differently than you've ever maybe thought of before. Not differently that your heart deep inside of you probably sees and feels every day. But to let that actually be there. To buy that instead of the prevailing wisdom that gets fed to us all the time. And it's because I believe, and I think that this is what Jesus was really all about, was that the world isn't exactly what it looks like to most of us most of the time. I think the world is really something pretty different. Illusions, Illusions are these things that they look so real, but they aren't. They're convincing, but that doesn't make them real, does it? I mean, everybody may be looking at it this way over and over, and so everybody says, no, that's true, but that doesn't make it true. What if there was another way you could step off to the side and see everything that we all see every day, but you see it differently from a new perspective, and you realize, whoa, the way I saw it before was just an illusion. The real thing is really very different. Maybe it is a new way of looking at the world, a new way of looking at your friends, at yourself, at your family, at your neighbors, at the strangers that live in our midst, in a way that we see them wholly new. And what if seeing the world like this, as hard as it is to hold on to with our heads, because it really does stretch us a lot, and we can barely get glimpses of it as a human being, but what if that began to convince our hearts, so that our hearts started deciding that some of these things, like loving without measure, like living generously, like doing the right thing for the right reason, that those things are actually worth going after, really worth taking a risk for. Not because they pan out every time, because they don't, but because they're worth the investment, they're worth what we put into it, and I'm not sure that we could really live any other way. Easter is God's way of telling you something that you can't see, but you somehow detect with your inner self, and letting you know that it is not only there, but it is actually the key to how the world works and what we are all about. And whether you buy it or not, whether you participate in it, whether you jump on the bandwagon and pick it up and run with it, or whether you drop it, it really doesn't matter, because it will not be stopped, because it reflects the actual reality that this world is shaped around. And it, when we begin to start seeing the world, not with that short-sighted, superficial, self-interested self, but when we get this other view of the world, these things start making sense. So I don't care if the system kills Jesus every time Jesus shows up in the life of a person who believes that love conquers fear and that hope is more powerful than death. I don't care if the world kills Jesus every time he shows up in a person that believes those sorts of things, because I know it still will not be stopped. And you, like the women and like the men and like me as well, we will all be invited, and we are invited to jump on board. Not only because we are capable, we have the power to be a part of that world that God is calling us to, but because we already have that power and we already are helping to create it. So these yarns here, and I see we got a long ways to go, these are a symbol of that. Yeah, you want to help pull some of these out? These yarns are ways of us to visualize something that we normally can't see too well. If you can keep pulling it nice and gently and easily, get them all the way back. Letting us know something. And if I was going to put this in really trite Bible language, I would say it's this. The power that God used to raise Jesus from the dead is at work in your life right now. The power that says this cross was not the end of something, but just the stamp that this is what it will always be, that's available to you right now. Yeah, and it does have snags in it sometimes, literally and figuratively. But that's okay. I think we get it. It's available in you right now. So we're going to keep trying to pass these out here. See how strong you guys are?
I just love the cross too much. I'm not going to leave.
I should have known as soon as I saw that expression on all of your faces. Would you put that up when I'm done preaching every week? Got another one there? So these are, just keep pulling these out and make a mess, make a web of this place, all right? Because it's telling us something that's hard to believe. And then that is, this power is running through all of us and working with all of us all the time. So there are a couple verses in one of the books in the New Testament. It's a letter written by a guy named Paul who was trying to explain to everyone what is this what is this stuff that Jesus is infecting us with, these new ideas? How do we understand it? And he wrote this, and I just want you to listen to these words as you're distractedly playing with yarn. Paul writes this. He says, "This is my prayer for you, that as God truly wishes, you would be strengthened in your innermost being with power that comes from God's Spirit, and that Jesus, and that what Jesus was all about, would live in your heart, and you'd come to trust it, so that it could root in you and ground you in love. My prayer is that you would have the power to do," and this is what I think is amazing, "my heart is that you would have the power to do what is thought impossible, to comprehend, along with all those who learn to trust God's ways, what is the length, the width, the depth of the love Jesus showed us, because this, and only this, will fill you with the fullness of God." The world is being changed, despite what makes it on the headlines in the newspaper, despite what's trending on Facebook or Twitter. Love wins. Love is on the move. It may lose battles, but it doesn't die, and it doesn't give up. So be part of it with us. Right now, you may not realize it, but you're having communion. So, we see things and do things a little differently at Jacob's Well sometimes. And, you know, communion really isn't about the bread and wine. Jesus is about getting the people together that he knew were going to carry on this message of love in ways where they would get it and hold on to it and be able to pass it on to other people. So it was really important to gather them together. You're gathered together here today. And he wanted to give them something tangible that they could repeat and hold on to and value. And bread and wine were one ways, but these strings are another way. So what we're going to invite you to do here as we get more of these pulled out is the offering baskets are here. If the person nearest the center aisle opens it up, you're going to find some scissors in there. So start cutting off pieces. I don't know. So long. And tie them onto each other, on your wrists. Not together, but just on your wrists. And do a bunch of them. These are reminders of this other way of understanding the world for you. Take a couple of them. Maybe you're going to want to hang one in a couple of places around you that remind you, that keep that conversation going with yourself. Maybe it's going to help you tell someone else. And when you tell them, you're going to hand them one of your bits of yarn and say, "Remember this. Hold on to this. Tell me where it goes. Discover it for yourself." Pick out those scissors and be a little chaotic. You can stand up, tie them on. You realize you can't tie this on yourself, so this is going to tie you to each other. Tie them on. We'll have a couple of minutes of chaos while the band takes us through another song.